The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During the supper, when Judas had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. But by this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord. We hear our Lord speaking of love right before his self-giving death, and we hear that he will make all things new. These come together in the plan of God in the fulfillment of love. You see, in heaven there is the civilization of love fully realized. Here on earth it is only in seeds, in glimpses. It started with the life of death and resurrection of Christ. But in order to understand these seeds that are sprouting here and there into the kingdom of God and will come into fullness of this age and the time and the end of time as we know it here on earth, and when the heavens and the earth come together, we must understand what truly is love. Its proper definition, love is to will the good for another. And it includes self-giving, self-sacrifice. This is why we can say the Father loves the Son loves the Father, and the love between the Father and the Son is the Holy Spirit. Is that they are continually giving themselves to each other from eternity. Love then is not primarily an emotion. This is rather the passion that we use in the English language to express different forms of emotion. So love is different from the emotion of being drawn to one, or lust, or having a great enamoring of either a person or some object. Now, love can include some of these, in that we wish to give ourselves over to another, which includes enamoring and desire to give one to another. But if we really look at the nature of love and its fulfillment, the true picture of what the Lord is calling to us in the newness of the Holy Spirit becomes revealed. See, in heaven, we could see that everyone is getting along, that they're giving to one another in conversation, in society, in respect. We can have an image that we form in our mind of that, which we should meditate upon. Here on earth, it is more difficult because of original sin, because we have turned away from the Lord. We lived in a mixed society of those, the city of man and the city of God, those seeking the kingdom of God, those seeking self-centeredness, as St. Augustine said many centuries ago. Our response to this is to follow the path of Christ. See, the greatest act of love is to give oneself for another, even unto death, as Jesus was the first to do. This is part of the plan of God. This is why that Jesus was saying these mysterious words. Now the Son of Man has been glorified. Is that he knew what was to come, that he would be then giving himself as a self-sacrifice. And this was to his glory. In our earthly way of thinking, suffering and difficulties just seem something we have to pass through, endure. Likewise, this is why we don't understand love. A perfect society in the earthly mentality seems, let's just everyone tolerate each other. Let's just get along. Especially since the 1960s, this has been promoted in the North American culture. Okay, everyone just get along. Just get rid of religion. Just get rid of divisions. And just sing in harmony. The end result of that is dictatorship. Why? It's because you ignore differences, conflicts, and you push aside what is against the way of the Lord. Those then who are strong declare and dictate what you must tolerate and everyone else must follow. This is the way of the world. Rather, it is the little acts of sacrifice, the reparations, the offenses against our Lord, the pouring oneself out for other that make up the building up of the kingdom of God here on earth. It's difficult to see through the obscurity of original sin. It is rather like a great quilt, a beautiful, the most extraordinary of quilts, is being weaved. The image of the kingdom of God, a great palace, the temple of the Lord with great jewels and stones around the edges of the walls as we see depicted in the book of Revelation. But as I learned from my grandmother, who made a great quilt, with squares for each one of her children and her grandchildren, obviously taking many years to complete, when you turn that quilt on the other side, or you open it up on the inside as you're making it, you see a bunch of knots and strings tied together. It looks pretty ugly. That is the reality of the self-giving love, the sacrifice, the perseverance that we see here on earth. It just seems like a bunch of knots, of strings tied together. Doesn't make sense with our eyes and our hearts sometimes. But if we see the other side, the great quilt, the weaving of the kingdom of God, which we will see in eternity, in heaven, and at the final judgment, then it all makes sense. The persevering acts, the outpouring, the giving of oneself. If we start to reflect for a while, we can understand some sense of this. For example, with two married couples, when we look and see what is the fullness of love, or what is the greatest images of love that we have before us, it is not the young couple dating that is romantically enamored with each other. This is a good and part of God's creation. But it is rather the couple that persevered through many years of sacrifices and difficulties. And you look at one spouse who perhaps taking care of another one in a nursing home or visiting them or taking care of them at home and say, that spouse really loves their spouse. And you see their dear and tender care for them after many years. Or perhaps you see one spouse that stayed in the marriage lifting up the other one, praying for them, even though that husband or that wife was really lousy, drunkard, didn't show good examples, and the spouse remained in the marriage, sacrificing, pouring themselves out for them. That is real love. Because it is to sacrifice oneself for another. Just like Jesus. See, the greatest act of self-giving love is to sacrifice for another. And he is calling souls to this, as we've seen over the last centuries. He called out with Our Lady of Fatima, make reparation for the sins of the world, inspiring a couple of children who became saints and another one along the way who became a contemplative nun to make reparation for the offenses against our Lord. He called and raised up souls to become victim souls. Like in the United States, Rhoda Wise and Cora Evans and others in Canada, and St. Padre Pio, who bore the marks of Christ and the stigmata, who entered into suffering for the sake of souls. This mysterious suffering is to make up what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ and his body, the Church, who is witnessed to by martyrs and those undergoing persecution, like the Chinese Catholics right now, and Cardinal Zen, and others who were imprisoned for the faith. These are acts of love for Christ and witnesses to him, which the Lord sees with great regard. This is part of the knots and the tying together of the threads. Let us then regard these great acts as truly are acts of love, so that this becomes one foundation in our hearts of the kingdom of God, building up that we are created in the image of God, that we're called to love, called to forgive, and in time build up that civilization of love that St. John Paul II called us to, which will be realized in the kingdom of God in heaven to come. And we'll see a greater glimpse of it in the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary promised at Fatima. Would then we would keep this before our mind and on our heart, praying, sacrificing, and giving ourselves in self-sacrificing love for others. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.